record, and you're ready to go.
Excellent. I am calling the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission public hearing to order at 4 p.m. on June 11th, 2020. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to the staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag AB June 11th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing.
Okay, Nikita, and if you just wanted to call the first application, we can just read it exactly as it's listed on the agenda. And then we'll give control to that applicant.
Give me one sec, just switching between.
Take your time.
So I'd like to hand over to the applicant, Travis Blake, for the 24 Selkirk Road in Sousa Designs.
Perfect. And Joe, could you just give control to the presentation to Stephen Sousa so that he can control it as we go through the presentation? All right.
I just made him a co-host, so that he should be able to share his screen.
Perfect.
Do we have that thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
This thing we have the additional.
Okay, good.
You guys got it?
Is it right there?
At the bottom of your screen, it should be above. There you go. You got it.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll start. Hi, I'm Stephen Sousa. I'm a member of the design team and the development team with my partner, Alan Burfield. Also part of the team is John Pulgini. We have Travis Blake here. We have Doug Kelleher and Erin Doherty also joining us, as well as Blair Hines. I think the first person who should start this presentation is John Pulgini, and he'll give us through where we are with the approvals to this point. Can we pick John? How does John speak?
Can you guys hear me now?
Yep.
That's great. Good afternoon, everybody. Everybody from Landmarks as well as the commissioners, appreciate the opportunity to here before you this afternoon. This is 24 Selkirk. The zoning in this neighborhood is three family, 6,000 square feet. The lot size at 24 Selkirk is 12,000 square feet. The proposal is to add an addition to the existing two family, which would have two units of the structure. A larger version of this proposal had been approved by the zoning board previously. This proposal has diminished in size based upon the feedback that we received from the Aberdeen Historical District. As far as variances, we have a four family and a three family zone. Lot width, if you guys look at the lot, when Steve runs through the plans, you'll see it's a pie-shaped lot. When we were before the zoning board, we had a rear yard violation. We no longer have a rear yard violation. The rear yard requirement in this zoning sub-district is 30 feet. We are at 38.9 feet and 48.9 feet, respectively. Parking, the neighborhood requires a 1.75 parking space per dwelling unit. We are, with a total of 8 for the 4 units, we are at 1.5 for a total of 6. We are complying with FAR. FAR is a 0.8. We are at 0.7. And most importantly, open space. The open space requirement in this sub-district is 800 square feet per unit, which would equal 3,200 square feet based on the 4 units. We are providing 6,820 square feet as part of this proposal. This, as I stated, this got approved at zoning board. At that time, there were over 20 letters of support from abutters that were submitted. Most importantly, we have the support from both direct abutters on either side of this project, and I hope you all agree they would be the most who are impacted by any sort of development. Support of the Brighton Austin Improvement Association, support of the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Services, and support of the District City Councilor. So that's that. If there's any questions regarding zoning, I'll be happy to answer them. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Steve Souza, and he will walk you through the design changes since we last appeared. I appreciate this opportunity.
Are we on? Thanks, John. We were last before the board on in February of 2019. Since that time, it's been about 16 months. We've been working almost constantly on trying to refine the design. We've done a couple steps. We went back and we reviewed the guidelines for the district. We saw how that could inform us in sort of design changes. We've met with Joe and Nick to discuss our project. We've hired Epsilon, Doug Kelleher and Aaron Doherty to weigh in on the historical aspects of the renovation and how we accomplished that. We've hired Blair Hines from Blair Hines Landscaping to weigh in on a landscape design. So I think I should walk us through what we've changed since the previous submission and just go through this checklist, right? So we simplified the rear facade and reduced the footprint at the rear yard by 9 feet. And that brought our setbacks up to 39 and 49 feet from the rear lot line. We increased the side yard setbacks at the rear facade of the addition to 12 feet west and 11 feet east. We'll go over this on the plans and you can see them when we bring up the plans. We decreased the proposed area by 770 square feet and then reduced the FAR by 0.8 or a 10% reduction. We increased open space by 573 square feet or 18%. It's now 213% of the required open space requirement in zoning. We revised the landscape to create a more of an organic planting outcrops and preserve the romantic suburban yard. We've also retained the existing historical rear facade projection to ensure future removal. It will maintain an essential form and integrity of the historic product and create a seamless transition to the new construction. We revised the exterior materials to integrate with the shingle style architecture of the existing building, the shingles and the siding and trim. And we maintained a 30-foot height limit. We're code, it's 35, and the existing building's at 45. So it's significantly lower than the existing building structure. We've replaced copper roofs with more appropriate wood shingles. We also removed a covered porch at the east elevation and modified dormer sizes and locations, right? Our previous footprint was 4,175. It shrunk down to 3,900 square feet. It was a 960 square feet reduction in the FAR. So those are the revisions we'll be going through today. I think I'm going to turn it over to Doug Kelleher and Aaron Daugherty, and they can talk about the historical impact of what we're doing.
Thank you, Stephen. This is Doug Kelleher with Epsilon Associates. Stephen, are you able to share your screen? I'm not able to see it. Is everyone else able to see Stephen's screen? Okay.
There's nothing on the screen.
How do we share it? What? Oh. Hold on.
We have a message that says you've started screen sharing, but.
Do you have multiple monitors?
Nope.
No.
It's not.
There you go.
There we go. Perfect.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. So again, Doug Kelleher with Epsilon Associates, and with me as well as my colleague Aaron Daugherty. So we thought it would be important. You've heard a lot about some of the revisions that have been made to the design of the addition. We thought it would be good to remind the commission of the work that's being done to the historic house. Just as a reminder to folks, the existing house, constructed in 1895, based on the designs of Loring and Phipps architects, is a Queen Anne / shingle style residence. Has many prominent Queen Anne shingle style elements, such as the broad gable roofs, shingle exterior, the stonework at the base of the entrance, as well as the bowed porch entry that wraps the property. Some of the work that's going to occur to the historic building is going to include pretty much a substantial rehabilitation of the exterior of the property. This includes repair to any deteriorated shingles. Where shingles are deteriorated, they'll be replaced in kind, consistent with the historic fabric, and resulting in basically a restoration of the exterior of the building. The project will also include the replacement of the windows with historically appropriate windows that match the same configurations of the existing windows, profiles, and glazing areas of the existing windows. The project will also include cleaning of the exterior stonework at the entrance, which is fairly soiled over the years, as well as cleaning of the asphalt roof, which again is while in fairly good condition, is in need of cleaning, as well as some exterior repointing at that entrance, the arch entrance bay, and regrouting as needed with historically appropriate mortar to again replicate the profiles of the joint lines in the mortar lines of the entrance. And one of the revisions, which Stephen touched on, you'll hear more a little bit later, is the fact that the rear appearance of the facade and the profiles have also been retained as part of the revised design for the new addition. And basically the overall goal of maintaining the historic appearance of the facade and the side elevations of the historic house, including the reintroduction of the second story porch over the entrance, second story balcony over the entrance, which has been lost over the years. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Aaron. Aaron will touch a little bit on some of the landscape improvements.
Thank you, Doug. With regard to landscaping improvements, there are several mature trees on the lot. And those will be retained as part of the project and protected during construction. Some new pervious pavers are going to be installed, and the steps at the front and side yards are going to be replaced with historically appropriate materials, and we'll look at some of those in more detail later in the presentation. The existing parking area in the front yard will be modified and some new historically appropriate materials introduced. Throughout the site, There will be new plantings that will be native species, and those will be appropriate for both the local soil conditions, but also will be consistent with historic precedents and the guidelines for the district. And lastly, there will be some new screening installed for the privacy of the neighboring properties, which are right nearby, and also the new residents of this building. So we'll look at all that in more detail a little bit later on. But with that, I think I will pass it back to Stephen, who's going to take us through the updated drawings and plans for the project and review the revisions that have been made since you last saw the project.
Thank you, Erin. So I guess I'll run you through the where we were before and where we are now. I think we'll start with the front elevation. As you can see, our goal is to thoughtfully renovate the existing building to its original luster. I think we're trying to keep everything really original detailing and original materials. I think the only thing we're adding on the front elevation is that more appropriate balcony at the entry, which takes on that shingle style character. I think if you notice from the previous presentation, we're removing the porch on the left side. Right. This is the rear addition, south elevation. As you can see previously, it came out and had a bay and a balcony. That has all been removed and simplified. We simplified the elevations in regards to dormers. All the copper that was originally on there has been removed. You can see in the upper right piece, that porch that was originally done is now removed. The columns at the entryway have been removed. And we're replacing the shingles on the first floor instead of the shiplap wood we had before. And we're replacing the copper roofs that we had originally drawn with a more appropriate shingle style roof. So this on the east elevation, you can see where we have made some changes. From the previous east elevation, we're bringing the building back 9 feet. We're retaining the character of that original cropping, or that original building right here. In part of the design, we're trying to make that intact. So in down the future, if you've ever wanted to be removed this addition, it could be. We have simplified the dormers from the previous presentation. We've simplified the windows. We've removed all the copper work in this. There's also a fire and remove into that piece. Oh, my internet connection is a little slow, but this is the west elevation. You can see the existing house. How again, we're simplifying the dormers, simplifying window placement. We've cut it back that 9 feet, removed the copper work, created a portion where the entire addition is cedar shingles that match the existing house. And that's a simple placement. So here are the two site plans side by side. You could see on the left-hand side, that was the original proposal. We've cut that back, that 9 feet in this location, giving us 39 and 49 feet. You could see we increased open space. By doing that, we increased the side setback on the side. But what we did was we retained that original structure of the original house right here, and we're kind of enveloping in on the side to make that again removable if it ever needed to be. Right? We removed obviously the covered porches at the sides, and we looked at a more organic landscaping setup. So when we decided that, we realized that we had to hire a consultant who could bring the, do a more in-depth design in how we achieve the goals of the guidelines. We've done that with Blair Hines. Let me see. Aaron's blocking. Right. Again, we went over usable space versus right now we're 213%. But at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Blair Hines so he can walk us through the landscape plan. Is Blair on?
And Blair is still here. I just don't. Blair, are you there?
Doesn't look like he has audio, Nick.
Oh.
He doesn't look like he has audio, huh?
Yeah.
You want to call Blair and see if he can get on or? Well, you can see by the drawing in front of you, it's a much more developed, organic, romantic feel for the landscaping. Let's see if we can get Blair to. Yeah.
I think I connected his telephone.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to unmute him. Blair, are you there?
Yeah, it looks like he's still muted.
Try that. Blair, are you there?
Yeah, this is an expert. Should I try and push on speaker on my phone? Still do it to the mic. Yeah. Looks
my name showed up as 645-6716.
We can't hear.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's working, Blair. Yeah, I have the other problem. It doesn't seem like it's working. It's working. Yeah, no, it wasn't working at all. Yeah, it's like a new camera.
There's no one else that can talk on the landscaping?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk. We were just, obviously Blair created it, so it's a little.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Poetic. I mean, I could certainly talk on the landscaping.
Is there any way to get him on one of your phones and then put it on speakerphone? Because we've had that happen in the past, and that's been somewhat successful.
So let me see if I could get Blair on.
Yeah. Thanks for your patience, everybody. This with this new way of presenting and having hearings, we do experience some of these technical difficulties. So
can everyone hear me?
Yep. Oh, there you are.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about the little technical difficulty. Please just let me know if I'm not loud enough.
You're fine.
Again, Blair Hines, principal landscape architect, and in developing the landscape plan, we had three primary goals that we wanted to do. First was to upgrade the street edge and preserve the street edge. Secondly was to support the residential living on the site for the new residents. And thirdly, to minimize the impact on the abutters. So starting with the last one, minimizing the impact on the abutters, the main thought that we had, as you can see towards the bottom of the sheet, was to come in with a lattice screen with flowering vines. The abutter that's immediately to the left property line, that building is only about 2 feet off the property line. So we had set the screening element in about 3.5 feet. So it both provide privacy for the abutter, or some privacy at least, as well as to provide screening and privacy for the new residents that would be coming into the site and going to their front doors. Secondly, we were proposing evergreen trees along with a wooden board fence along the rear property line and along the right property line where it abuts the existing parking lot there. In terms of residential living, the main improvements really are to have a nice historically appropriate front walkway to the different units, so there's a sense of front yard. The landings are rather small, but enough for maybe two chairs and enjoy the Sunday paper or something. And then in the rear yard, we were keeping it fairly natural, and again, that would be available for the new residents. We presume that some of the residents in the original house portion of the project would be enjoying the porches. And then most importantly, if you can slide, next slide down, please. Okay, as I said, the one of the primary goals is really to preserve and enhance the street edge along Selkirk Road. And this is being done in several different ways. Firstly, in terms of parking, the idea, as was mentioned before, is to have six parking lots so that we can eliminate on-street parking by the new residents. Secondly, to upgrade those parking spaces by in two ways. One, removing the railroad ties, which really was a kind of a funky way of creating parking, and instead to basically remove some of the putting stone ledge and create and utilize either the ledge face or putting stone retaining walls to create four spaces as you see to the sheet top, and then two additional spaces towards the sheet bottom. In addition to that, the idea, as was previously mentioned, about historically appropriate materials would be stone steps to replace the existing stone steps with new stone steps and a stone wall for the two spaces that are at sheet bottom. We're thinking about a brick walkway that goes in, and whether it's a wire cut or maybe a mudded brick that's appropriate to go in there and create, again, something that would be historically appropriate for the walkway to both the existing front door as well to the units that are all along the side. The other thing in terms of historically appropriate and native plantings we're thinking about that would work on the ledge would be rhododendrons. They'll need some irrigation support, but then IKEA is another native plant, and then spireas, which were also historically appropriate, that would be along the front of the building, and then to the sheet top along the, I guess that's west-facing elevation, would be lilacs, which would be another historically appropriate plant that would do quite well on the site. And the idea is to use all the plants in massing rather than lots of different plant varieties, so there's a sense of scale in keeping with the large house. I'm happy to answer any questions anyone might have, but that's the end of my presentation.
All right. Thanks, Blair. Yeah, Blair did a much better job than I would have been doing explaining that, but let's move to the next slide. So these are the floor plans. Again, we're doing four units. They're plus or minus 2,000 square feet. They're three bedroom, two and a half to three bath units. They are for home ownership. The goal is to have families move back into the area. That's a floor plan. So these are, right, this is a little deceptive because the street, when you're standing in front of the building, the street has, the building has such a presence on the street. It's very powerful, right? These pictures don't do it justice, but the way that this building addresses the street by being up above 5 or 6 feet in towers of the street, it's really a strong presence. Obviously we were looking at how our addition impacted that presence, and we're confident that you still maintain the original character of the house, and sort of you can read the original house reads really strongly there. On the left, you can see what we originally proposed with the copper roof, with that addition, sort of that contrasting shiplap boards and the shingles above. You could see originally it was hard to make out the original structure. On what we're proposing now is to keep the original structure here that exists. We're proposing screening it with some landscaping, and we're creating one sort of continuous colorway that goes through the property. And this is on the side. Again, these pictures are taken from the worst case scenario on the side. This is looking through the original one, looking through a parking lot from a 1950s apartment building next door. Part of our proposals, we are redoing this fence along this parking lot to more of an appropriate piece that you could see in Blair's presentation. It's a cedar board fence. And then our new proposal, you can see we're screening, we have screening elements. The piece, can I move this? Yeah, the piece in the back is simplified, it's smaller. And again, we're using that colorway that blends into the entire building. This is a rendering from the rear of the building. This is the existing building that comes down right here. We're retaining the existing building. We're setting the new building back. We're creating the same sort of materials that run through. These are the existing dormers. Our new dormers are mimicking the geometry of the existing dormers in that piece. We see the simplified window structure. You see some more contemporized version of shingle style elements. You see overhang roof with brackets. And again, this addition has been conceptualized as being very simple as not to compete with the rest of the 1895 building. So this is the existing angle of the back of the west rendering. We do have another west rendering we can show you as well. This shows, again, we're retaining the existing elements of the existing building, this beautiful bay in the back. You can see where we're putting on a scab piece to the existing roof structure. We've simplified our gables. Again, it's a sibling of this original building, but a much younger sibling and a more simplified version of it. We simplified the windows, we simplified the dormers in that piece. We have landscaping in that those pieces as well. We have another version of it. So this is really how it looks on the street. Again, this is how you read this building. You know, the dynamic geometry of the building is so strong at the streetscape. The addition really just folds into the back of the site. And you can see how we're stepping that back from the original property line back in, retaining that sort of stuff. So it's nestled into that corner in the back. We thought that was a strong element to show. But I think with that, we are done with our presentation.
Hey guys, it looks like your screen froze. Is there any way to show the existing, did you already show the existing conditions of the rear of the building, just so we can see where it's being added onto on the existing structure? There you go.
The other one?
Yeah. No, it's right there. So Nick, you mean show that previous rendering I just showed, this rendering?
Yeah, I just want you to show specifically the newer commissioners what exactly is at the rear of the structure now. So
So do we have an existing elevation here? No, he's talking about the existing elevation of that piece.
Correct.
Do we have an existing elevation?
Not this file. Just the existing?
Yeah. So we don't have an elevation just to the existing.
Travis, do you have any photographs of that rear elevation?
Yeah, we could get a photograph, yeah.
I think that'd be helpful.
All right, why don't you just continue with the presentation, and when you come across that, just let us know.
Well, I've sent him to get the photo now. Okay. I think we were ending the presentation, but do you want me to stretch?
I think it would be helpful if the commissioner saw what was there now, so they understand the alterations that are being proposed.
Okay. Let me see.
So Nick, maybe while we're waiting, you can tell us as new commissioners what the issues were with the original proposal compared. I mean, I could see some of the differences they've made, but why it was denied.
Yeah, so the original proposal, based on my recollection from the hearing, and Helen, feel free to chime in whenever you need to, but it was the visibility from the street that was originally an issue, but based on the materials that were used, it was more visible. I don't know if you remember in the previous slides, the rear addition looked like a rear addition. The update now shows that the addition kind of blends in better and kind of, I think, seamlessly integrates into the neighborhood or this house. So there was that. And then there was also the concern over the green space that was lost at the rear of the property. The architects have since decreased that, so increased the green space. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this hearing, they have exceeded the requirements for green space on this property now in accordance with the zoning. And then, you know, based on our guidelines, it seems to fit. So, yeah, so those are basically the issues that the original commissioners had with this. But I also wanted you to take a look at this existing conditions right now so you have an idea of what's being removed and what's staying.
Nick, I would also mention that in one of the previous designs, they were proposing to remove that rear L, and that was an issue, and they're preserving that now.
Right. Thank you, Joe. Yes. So the rear L that you see here, it's, I gotta see. Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah. So that was originally proposed to be removed. They're now retaining that. And the only element that's being removed on this property is the this little addition that was probably in the 1970s, right, guys?
Right, yep.
Yep. So that's not original to the structure. So one of my thoughts were, you know, if 50 years down the road, the architecture of the new building isn't what it used to be, it could simply be removed. It's probably not likely, but it's there, and you're still preserving the historic context of the original home.
Do we have that?
So are we moving on to the second piece with the administrative approval and review with folks comment if they have any other questions for the applicants?
So right now this is the question and comment period for the commissioners. So you know, we'll open it up right now. If you guys have any concerns or if you'd like to talk about any of the specific elements, just let us know and we can go back to those previous slides.
Thank you.
Yep.
Do any of the commissioners have any comments or questions?
So I just want to clarify that every change that was asked to be made from the last time this proposal came forward was pretty much made.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
I would like to just comment I would not say that I agree with that statement. One of the main concerns of the commissioners that I still have is that the addition, that this is such a prominent property and the addition is, and even with this smaller addition, I think this still applies, the addition is so huge. It's like building a whole new house on the lot. And you have just huge extra piece that that you lose the essence and the identity of what the original house was. And although I agree that all of these changes are an improvement, I think that first overarching objection that the commission had previously, I still hold that view.
I'd like to have a question about the parking spaces, if I may. In the earlier plan, it appeared that there was only room in the original space for 3 cars. Are you proposing to enlarge that to 4?
Yes.
And that would entail moving the stone wall that supports the front sidewalk, is that correct?
No.
Could we go back to that slide, please?
When can we see that?
You had it there a minute ago.
Back up. This, no.
Well, this, okay, stop yeah. Right there. In the upper right, in the upper left-hand corner. Oh, excuse me. That, I think I've seen at different times, three cars park in that space.
So we're enlarging on each side of that to make it so 4 9-foot spaces.
Okay, so that will require, you've got railroad ties supporting the edge.
Right, so right now we are, part of Blair's scheme was to take out the railroad ties and put in a more appropriate stone wall that comes across this parking area.
Okay. And will you need to move the sidewalk and the steps over a few feet?
There is no sidewalk on here. The street.
All right, where the steps show that they connect to the street.
I think we would move that over a couple of feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We're going to redo the sphere in the more appropriate materials than it is now, as you can do in Blair's.
Yeah. And the 2 additional parking spaces, right now they're not bounded by anything other than some banked.
Yeah. Land. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So these parking spaces, we're going to make legitimate parking spaces. Again, we were going to take out that ledge and create, again, a stone wall around those 2 parking spaces, whether it's that ledge face or we'll fill that in with a stone, that putting stone wall around that. So we would take out that ledge underneath and create 2 more usable spaces there. Not really changing the dimension of what you see from here to here,
mm-hmm.
but just taking out that hump because you kind of drive up a hill and just making a proper stone wall fenestration here and around there.
Yeah, well, the reality of all of this district is the unevenness of the landscape. So taking something out, I would recommend that you proceed cautiously because you never know what Pandora's box you're going to open, but you'll find out. The other thing I think your landscape person indicated in an earlier showing was that all of these sidewalks would be made of permeable materials?
Brick. Pavers, yeah.
Okay, I'm not convinced that brick is the best, but that's still subject to some examination.
So
the loss of the green space, which concerned me from the very beginning, it has improved, but it's still a large addition. Offsetting the drainage problems that building this size are likely to cause would be helped by having as much permeable and plantings as you possibly can, because green space, especially in this area, is precious, and it's really quite, you notice it when it's gone, and that's a lovely corner. And I'll stop there.
So I just wanted to remind the commissioners that, you know, if you feel that there should be a different style of paver, you're certainly welcome to make that recommendation and or change. and we can, they can integrate it into the final approval. So that's not something that's non-negotiable. If that's how you feel, you, this can be an approvable project, that can be done.
Oh, I actually did want to ask about that because I had the same concern as Sharon that brick might not be the, if you're saying red brick, I'm not sure what you mean by brick. I know that the guidelines call for permeable materials. I'm just not sure if brick is the best material. We might look for guidance from staff for that. I also want to ask about the fencing that's proposed between the lots, and I understand the reason for wanting that. You know, fences are not common in this district. There is no one exact style. The one that's being proposed, I'm not sure that it's wrong, but I'm just not sure that it's the best style. And that's to me something that maybe should be reviewed further.
This is the landscape architect, Blair Hines. Can you elaborate a little further? Are you talking about the screening fence that would be to the back and against the property?
Right.
Against the parking lot? You're thinking right. That it should not have a fence?
I know, I'm not saying it should not have a fence. I understand your reason for having a fence. It's sort of unusual, but as I said, fences are not that common in the district, so it's not like, and they're not right. They're not recommended, but they're not, they are allowed. I'm not saying it's the wrong one. I'm just not sure it's the right style because it is sort of an unusual feature in the district.
To check. I mean, I'd like to get guidance because if we could, if I don't know if this is the time to be make more of a decision about that, but
no,
the existing fences.
Sorry.
I was just going to say the existing fence is a stockade fence.
Right, and I understand.
Right. So by going to a simple board fence, and we certainly would be more than happy to consider something else, it has the advantage of being innocuous.
Right.
It doesn't call a lot of attention to itself. Where if you had something that had like lattice, like you have board fence with lattice on top, mm-hmm. that's going to attract a lot more attention. Plus, it's going to step going up the slope.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, creates more. So our thought, you may disagree with it, was just to try to do something that that didn't compete with the architecture, mm-hmm. but did screen the cars.
Right.
Which, you know, are mm-hmm. rather, I mean, if there's anything that's inappropriate in the neighborhood, that sort of parking lot is. But we're living with that, as you are. So that was a thought, and your guidance, we would welcome.
And, you know, I don't have a specific recommendation. To me, it's something maybe to discuss with staff. And as I said, maybe what you're suggesting is the best option. Because it's not something we see frequently, it's just something I want to bring up as a question as to, is there some other thought that should be, some additional thoughts should be put into that? And maybe the result would still be what you're proposing. And I'm not saying that I oppose that.
Sorry, it was brought up earlier that how obvious you can see this addition from the street. So, I mean, I can obviously see it on this side because of but there's a fence and a big parking lot. So you're going to see whatever's back there no matter what. But facing the house dead on or just off, can I see what that looks like?
The photo of the house dead on. All right, we'll pull up a photo of the house dead on now. Then we'll get the rest of the photos. But I think. Is the one enough? So I think if we go back,
Stephen, I think if you go to the third slide, the one after that.
Yeah. So there's the house dead on, right? So off to the side a little bit, but.
I think that gives me enough of a picture between the two because the fence is just off to the right there, about 3 feet, right?
Yeah.
So really with the new landscaping that you guys have done and with, you know, when you end up putting in that other driveway on the other side, there'll be probably some plantings right above the edge of that so people wouldn't walk right off it into the, I'm assuming the drop into the car spot. You won't really even be able to see the difference between the new part of the house and the old part of the house, will you? Or, I mean, you would have before with the brass and stuff, or the copper, but it doesn't look as noticeable to me, and maybe I'm missing something.
I'd like to chime in on that piece too. Unfortunately, wasn't part of the commission when the changes were, you know, when the first proposal was put in. And from what I can see, you know, the consistency between the new design with the colors, I feel like it does kind of blend in. It doesn't jump out at to me as necessarily an addition. If I had never seen the building before, I would think that it was part of it. But, you know, again, I wasn't here for the first part of it, but for me, you know, it just seems like according to the, you know, the design revamps that most things are in compliance. I mean, there's been additional green space that has been added, right? From what I can see.
From the previous proposal, yeah.
Yeah, in the previous, you know, so it's been expanded from that. And so I'm not sure, you know, I feel like it's, if you guys went through the review and you fell into compliance with all of the different aspects, you know, I'm seeing that reflected in the new design.
Nikita and John, I just wanted to throw this back to you. What are your thoughts on, you know, some of the concerns that Helen and Sharon have is the loss of green space. I'm curious to see how you feel about that. You know, keep in mind the context of this building. It's in a predominantly single family street for the most part, or at least originally was. Do you feel that the loss of green space from this addition would adversely impact the character of the neighborhood?
Well, I personally look at it and I don't see much loss in the front area. If anything, I see improved landscape. I think those ties look really beat up, and I think putting pavers in, and I think leaving that open to staff review is a great idea for what kind of pavers, you know, to make sure that they fit better and that the colors are right matching wise. But I don't actually see any major take back from the front of the house because both areas are already being used for parking from what I see. In terms of the back of the house, yeah, you're gonna lose some, but I think also by the fact that they're gonna improve it all, it's probably gonna end up being more usable in the long run anyways. And you know, from my point of view, I see a lot of projects being done around the neighborhoods that get approved and don't have even this much green space. So it's not a deal breaker for me. I mean, I think that if the stone review is an issue, then I have no problem with that going under staff recommendation. But I mean, I think that from what I'm seeing, everything that was asked of them to do, they've done. And, you know, I mean, even the fence, you know, there's already an existing fence there. So you're just basically putting in a brand new fence. If there was a staff review that one fence fits better than the other, go for it. But otherwise, I don't see this being a reason to not let them go forward.
So let me propose this question specifically to Sharon and Helen. Would you be more comfortable with a project like this if there was a gain in green space in the front of the property, meaning that there are no parking spaces? That might be a challenge for the developer, but I'm just throwing it out there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me chime in. In the backyard, it is bracketed on two sides by, I think, 5 or 6 story apartment buildings. There are straight walls on either side. So one of the first things I noted was that this is one of the few open spaces in the area. So having a multi-story addition to 24 Selkirk, I wasn't comfortable with that. The changes that have been introduced since we've been looking at these different design changes are an improvement. They've scaled it back. Frankly, every mature tree that can be saved is a benefit. As far as the back is concerned, that is the only place where they could realistically put on an addition and not compromise the original structure. I don't think we're going to be able to get much more from the back. from the front, I would not endorse any additions or changes. The setback and the height makes a huge difference in the impact that it makes to the street. The additional landscape elements and the planting that they are putting alongside both fences will help considerably. And I also know that wooden fences over time suffer from New England weather. So I'm just going to address it as how it will look in the, for the next 10 years once it's done. Ideally, I would like just a three family instead of a four family, but I realize that market forces are at work here, so I won't pursue that any further. Helen, you want to moderate what I've thrown out there?
Well, I would just say my answer to your question, Nick, is that although I'm certainly not generally in favor of front yard parking, but that parking is already there, and removing that parking to me would not be a mitigation, because to me the issue is the size, scale, and predominant presence of the addition and how much that adds to the house and takes away from that, the presence of the original house and losing that feeling of the original house. So not having those parking spaces does not, to me, make up for having an overly large addition on the back of the house, which you can see, you know, their slide kind of shows that addition in kind of a dark slide, but I've walked by that site, and you from the street there, look by that parking lot of that next room, you can see right through to that whole, you know, open area that will now be taken up by that addition.
Thanks, Helen. You know, we've had a lot of conversations about this property, and I'm going to throw this question out to all of the commissioners. As you'll see in my staff notes, I've recommended that we possibly do a site visit to understand the complexities of this particular parcel. I'm wondering, would that help at all in trying to understand how this project would impact the neighborhood? You know, we can render everything all we want, but sometimes just being in the actual neighborhood with the architect may be helpful in understanding, and further, maybe some additional adjustments that we could possibly make to make it more digestible to you. So I'm just going to throw that out there. If that would be, we could remand it to a subcommittee of, you know, two or three members, or we can do the entire commission. Of course, we would have to practice social distancing. So, you know, we could all wear our masks and be spread out on the property, but I would think it's still doable. So I'll throw that out there as well.
I'd be perfectly happy with a site visit. It's a nice street.
So, Nick, from your point of view, what do you think isn't being captured here? I mean, I have no problem with doing a visit, but it seems like this project's gone over. When did it first come up? And then it seems like it's been reviewed quite a bit all around.
Yeah.
I get the visibility is going to, maybe you might be able to see it a bit down the far end, but with the landscaping they're going to be doing, you're barely going to see it on the other side. It's an open parking lot that doesn't fit the neighborhood at all, which there's nothing we have any control over at this stage. So no matter, you know, anything will be visible no matter what you do.
Yeah.
You know?
So my thoughts as a staff person, I think this project has made tremendous strides in blending in with the neighborhood, but part of my responsibilities is to explain to the commissioners or assist the commissioners in coming to a decision that we can all be happy about. So if we had to make a decision today, I would make the recommendation of approving, but I want to make, I'm just trying to assist other commissioners to understand the project better. So.
I would be in favor of a site visit if that's enough to for people to get a different perspective. You know, I'm definitely open to all of that, you know, so.
Helen, do you think a site visit would be beneficial for your concerns?
I mean, I don't want to say that I wouldn't be willing to do that, because I would. I don't know that would change my thoughts or opinion or you know, feelings about the project.
Okay.
Kirsten, anything?
Yeah, I think a site visit would be helpful.
Okay. Great. So it sounds like the majority of us of the commission would think that the site visit would help the decision-making process. Do we want to do the entire commission, or do we want to do a subcommittee consisting of certain members? And then, you know, we can either bring the decision back to the full commission, or we can make the decision on site.
Nick, if we had the full commission, do we have to advertise that?
We do.
As a public meeting. The thing is, I do feel that because we have new commissioners, I think it'd be hard to just have part of the commission. Mm-hmm. It sort of seems to me like it should be open to all of the commissioners.
Yeah.
I mean, people may choose not to attend, but to make it available. But despite the fact that I guess that would make that extra requirement, which I suppose could then end up with people from the public also attending.
Correct. Yeah. So the commission, and Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, the subcommittee would need a 48-hour notice in order to...
It would be 48 hours for both, because this would be a site visit. You know, it's not, I don't think you'd be continuing the hearing at the site.
Right.
So you'd be going to do a site visit. You're not really going to be, not going to make a decision on site. You're going to come back.
But so would, even if there were a subcommittee, is there still a requirement for public notice?
Yes. But both do.
So then it seems to me like to make it open to all commissioners, and those who choose to attend could attend. In other words, if having just a subcommittee could avoid that step of having to have a public process, and you could just kind of make it like really just for looking at the site and not really discussing, because you can't discuss, you know, if it's not advertised. But since you have to advertise anyway, it sort of seems like just make it open to any commissioner who wants, all the commissioners.
Right. So, you know, we'll open it up to the public for comment in a moment here, but so what does everybody think? Do we have enough information to make a decision today? Or should we open it up to a subcommittee for review at a later date?
Should we hear the public's opinion before we make that decision?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Just in case they're neighbors or whatever it may be.
Sure.
Nick, I need to read that last
minute. Nikita needs a chance to.
Sure. I'm sorry. It's just with the video, I have a hard time switching screens. Just give me
I'm sorry to interrupt, Nikita. Can I ask a question on procedure?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because I thought that we were supposed to have a motion formulated before we had public opinion. So are we going to just sort of change the order of that because of being kind of uncertain where we're going here?
I'm sorry
to interrupt. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, Nick, I might even suggest, I mean, it sounds to me what you might want to do is, I mean, you can continue this till next month based on the understanding you're going to have a site visit to the property. And then I would wait to have public comment until the next hearing. You could do that. That's an option.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but doesn't it make sense to hear the public's opinion so when we go to the site, we can kind of evaluate what we heard from them and take that into account with what we see? It might be something that we hadn't considered.
You can certainly do that. I mean, typically what's done is a motion is made and then public comment is called for, and then the motion can always be amended. So, I mean, technically, you can make a motion now to continue it and take public comment. If someone wants to make a motion to do that.
So, I'll make the motion. I motion to continue to open up to public comment, but also continue to next month with a site visit and the final vote in the next meeting.
Okay. So Nikita, go ahead and read that blurb about the public comment part.
So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, please press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag AB June 11th hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions.
And so while we're waiting for comments, I will just add that we have Travis, about 15 to 20 emailed comments that you sent in for the record?
It's about 22.
22, okay, yeah, so I have those on file and I'm just mentioning them to submit for the record. And if anyone's interested in hearing those comments, you know, we can allow you to read them, but they are all in support of this project. I have not received any comments that are against this project from the public.
Okay, so the first person we have raising their hand, Shane Devereaux. Shane, you'll have 2 minutes to make your comments.
Hi, this is Shane Devereaux. I've been living in the area for about 3 to 5 years now. I live in the Cleveland Circle area right across from Cityside. I've walked by that house many times. I do actually like how they're keeping the integrity of the building while building onto it. As a person living in the neighborhood with me, more families, more people in the area, I approve of it.
Great, thank you.
That's all I have to say, thank you.
Claudia Boldman.
Yes, hi, thank you. I currently live in 140 Kilsyth Road, which is just down the street from this property. I've been living here since 1991. I'm a current trustee of our condo association. And I also participated in the first site visit for this project. And saw the original plans. And I've got to say that the redesign is totally incredible. It's such a change from what was there before. I agree with what you said about it blending in seamlessly now so that there's no old and then new. And it also really reminded me of our own property, which is also an old Victorian that was converted into condos back in, I think it was in 86. And the way it was done is very respectful of the original structure. The new part of the house blends seamlessly into the old one. The landscaping totally works with the period. So I think if, you know, I come from a place that says, you can't stop development, or you should not stop development. And if you have to have development, then this kind of sensitive fitting into the neighborhood is what you want. So I totally support the redesign.
Okay, I do not see anyone else raising their hand. Is there? Oh, is that someone here?
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. This is Phil Kepler.
Okay, you have 2 minutes to make your comments.
I've lived off and on in this area for 64 years. It's a beautiful building, and the way the project looks to me, it's going to make it a more beautiful building, and I have no idea why you guys aren't voting for it for 2 years already.
And your name, sir?
Philip Kempler, K-E-M-P-L-E-R.
Thank you, Philip.
I live at 155 Kilsyth Road.
Thank you very much.
Anybody, really. 65 years already in this on this property, in and out, you know, throughout my life.
Hey, thank you.
You guys have done to keep this guy out of, you know, from not being able to do his project as criminal.
Thank you for your comments. We have Lloyd from Green Line Realty. Would you like to make your comments and let us know your full name?
Hi, good evening. My name is Lloyd Rosenthal. I've been in the area of Cleveland Circle since 1985. In and out, I own investment property over there. I think it's a unique, beautiful house. And I think they're saving the property and adding a lot of beautiful details. I would like to see the parking, like maybe gray pavers, so it blends in with the rest of the street and the area. But I think the addition and the bringing in families to live in the area is going to be great for the neighborhood. And I think it's, I'm pro development on that project.
Thank you for your comment. Okay, anyone else here raising your hand? Let's see, we have a Mark. Mark, would you like to make your comments? You have 2 minutes.
Bob Cunningham.
What? Is it Rob? Is it Robert?
Mark. There was Mark.
It's Robert. Yeah. No, it's Robert Cunningham.
No, well, there's someone else who was also raising his hand named Mark. Mark, if you unmute yourself, please.
Sorry, yes, sorry, I'm actually on somebody else's computer. My name is Julian Bulger. I'm actually the owner of Cityside American Tavern right in Cleveland Circle. I've been there for 11 years and hopefully for another 19 years. Definitely excited about the changes that the architects have made here to make it fit into the neighborhood. I love the planters and the ideas and keeping the existing shrubs that are possible. Also the fact that the rear of the building now definitely fades away into the back of the parcel and is not as noticeable, not as, doesn't stand out as much. And I think that was the whole purpose. Just towards the commission and the commissioners, I mean, I know obviously projects take time, and I know this team has been working on this project and it has made the changes from what I can see that have been requested by, you know, the neighbors and the commission. And I just feel it's a little unfair, you know, for a site visit. I didn't feel like all the commissioners that had spoken up felt a site visit was necessary. I think it's, you know, they've done what has been requested, minor, some small changes, possible changes. I think it would be a great idea to vote today to let them move on with this project and beautify this house and these units, because obviously, you know, they're falling into disrepair and they need some TLC, and I think these gentlemen are capable of doing that. So that's thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it, and I wish these guys the best of luck with the project.
Great. Thank you for your comments. Now, Mr. Cunningham, now you have 2 minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I have the house next door, directly next door at 14 Selkirk Road. And I've had that house now for about 35 years. And we've had a chance over the last couple of years to meet with both developers and landscape people to review our concerns to being directly next to this project. And over the last course of 2 years, we've been very, very happy with their response to our concerns. They're meeting us at the property and inviting our input as to what would be good. Landscaping, of course, was always one of our issues, and I think they've exceeded our expectations on that. And I'm happy to see that they've made changes to the structure and reducing this the addition and providing more open space in the back and other changes that they've made, which are to meet the, you know, the concerns of the Aberdeen historical. You know, we've watched this project unfold over the last couple of years, and it's developed into a really nice project now. I think the extra work that was put into the design and those changes that were made to, you know, brings, you know, come and meet you halfway, as they say. I think they've done a very good job. So we are supporting it, and we look forward to it. We think that knowing what Alan has done in the neighborhood, he's turned a bunch of old houses that were really in poor shape like this, and has been very sympathetic to the architecture and some of the improvements made on these sites. And each and every one of these houses is a better house today because of his efforts over the last 15 years in developing these properties and bringing them back to life again, as he is going to be doing with this property. The structure on the back is very sympathetic to what has gone on in the front. So we're, again, overall, we're very, very happy with the effort they made. We appreciate that effort was made. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to make a comment? Members of the public. Nick and Nikita, I don't see any other public comment at this point.
I do not see any either. So Nikita, I'll throw it back to you. Does anybody want to amend the motion, or do we want to continue as originally proposed? And that would be to approve or reject the project or continue it to a subcommittee where the decision will be made at the July hearing.
I would like to suggest, since we have two new members to this commission, that we ask them how necessary they feel it is to make the site visit. I think we've already heard from John, but I'm perfectly willing to ask him again. And Nikita, I don't know how familiar you are with this whole process, but you have a right to speak whether or not you want to spend your time on another site visit. So, folks?
So I guess for me, I think that, you know, looking at what was designed before, what was asked for them to change, the fact that they changed every bit of it, the landscaping, I see, seems to me to do a good bit of blocking the new addition. I know it's not going to block it completely. But I also, you know, I feel like in some ways, how much are you going to expect them to do? I mean, so what I look at is I'm fully in favor of maybe the stone use and the fence even being under staff review, you know, to make sure that the staff thinks it fits the property is the best possible fit. But I don't feel it's necessary to hold up for another month. I don't know.
That's Are you saying opinion. No site visit?
I'm saying I don't feel it's necessary, but I'm okay. Happy to go along if everybody really wants it. I just don't see the point of it because, you know, I feel like I have a good grasp looking at it, knowing the area, seeing most angles of it. I mean, the only angle I haven't seen is being in the backyard, but even I did see a picture of it. So the only angle I don't feel I know is from the house going outward in the back, but everything else. And the fact that the neighbors, I mean, I always think the neighbors are the most important thing. And, you know, Robert gave a pretty good review of how helpful, you know, he feels it's been. And, you know, I don't think it's necessary is my vote, but I'm happy to do it if that's what everybody else thinks. So I would vote in favor right now.
Balls in your court, Nikita.
I, you know, I'm of the same mindset there. From what I could see from the previous review of the previous design, it was jarring, right? The colors of the addition really stood out, and they were, you know, it was very prominent, and it's like, you know, it was disjointed to me. And to me, the addition of some more green space, the fact that they're under the square footage, the fact that I can't tell I'm thinking it's just a really big house. You know what I mean? You know, and this is just a layman's speech coming out here, but I would be, if we did take a vote now, I would be in favor of it. So I'm also not, I don't need the site visit, but if that's how the commission feels, you know, I'm in favor of it if folks feel like they need to be there. But right now I'm pretty decisive about where I stand on the project.
Great.
Okay.
So does somebody want to make a motion? Nikita or John? Do you want to
So right now there is a motion on the floor. So Nikita, if you want, you can withdraw your motion or amend it or vote on it. Your motion was to continue to a site visit.
I would. So basically, we can vote on whether to approve the motion.
Or you can withdraw that motion, and someone can make a new motion.
Okay, I'm going to withdraw the motion and see if there's any other motion that we can go forward with.
I'm comfortable with making a motion to approve it with review from staff of the stone that's used and the fencing. But other than that, I'm comfortable with it going forward. So that would be my proposal.
I second the motion.
Okay, so I will take a roll call and following commissioners, just yay or nay or abstain. Helen?
No. Rosemary?
No. Kirsten Hoffman?
Yes.
Sharon Kaylee?
Abstain.
Nikita?
Yes.
John Bly?
Yes.
So that is 3-1-1, so the motion passes. The application has been approved. So I guess next steps, Travis, I'll get you your approval letter. We will talk about next steps tomorrow and give you a buzz, and you guys are all set. We'll discuss options for the pavers as well as the fence at the during our conversation. And then once we come to a decision as far as what those will be, I'll report back to the commission with the results.
Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, Nikita, and the next thing we're going to want to do is we're going to want to review the administrative items. So what you'll need to do there is you'll need to read the description of the administrative item, and then someone will make a motion to approve or reject or continue.
Need 1 minute to
switch. Take your time.
So Nick, I have a question.
Yes.
So basically, you know, am I reading what's on for number two here for the administrative review?
Yeah. So it's the administrative section. You're just going to read the description of mm-hmm. the administrative item. So it'll be, forgot what it was. So it'll be the application number, the address, and then the description.
Sure. So the application number is 20.1052AB, and it's 258 Chestnut Hill Avenue to replace the asphalt shingle roof in kind. And so am I just opening it up to being voted on?
Yep, or discussion.
Or discussion, okay. Yep. I guess I'll open it up for discussion if anybody has anything to say.
It pretty much meets guidelines?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so I think that sounds good.
Anyone else?
I have no issues with it.
Mm-mm. Okay, so I'd like to make a motion to make a vote. All in favor? Yay.
I'll second your motion.
Excellent. So Nick, do you take over this part or do I just go through each commissioner?
You go through each commissioner.
Yeah.
So so Sharon is a yay for this?
Yes.
John Blige?
Sorry, yes.
Helen?
Yes.
Give me 1 second. Kristen?
Yes.
And I'm also a yes.
Perfect. So that passes. And the next one will be for the meeting minutes. So I included that in my email this morning. If anyone's had an opportunity to review them.
Yep. So.
Can I make a motion to accept the minutes from last meeting?
Thanks, John.
I second that motion.
Thank you. Any objections? Okay, motion passes. Okay, so as far as chair and vice chair, so here's how this will go. Joe, you're still here? He's still here. Oh, there he is at the bottom. Okay. So we're going to be voting by secret ballot. for a vice chair and a chair. Does anybody want to A, volunteer to be the chair, vice chair, and B, chair? Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, are there any volunteers or nominations for the chair, vice chair?
I'd like to throw my hat in the ring for chairman. I feel that I can bring a bit of fresh diversity to the commission, and I would really like to take on that role.
Great. So we have a nominee of Nikita. Is there anybody else that would like to nominate themselves or someone else? No one? Anybody interested in being the vice chair? No one?
All right. I probably will be sorry, but I'll volunteer to be vice chair. to run for vice chair. I haven't been voted in. Yeah.
Joe, what's the procedure here? So we only have two nominees. So mm-hmm.
Well, I think why don't you have people send in the votes and we can make it official next month.
Perfect. Okay. So what you need to do is simply just email me to my email address at nicholas.armada@boston.gov with your nominees for chair and vice chair, and then I'll announce the winners. I'll announce the results at the July hearing.
Could you send us an email that those are the candidates? Because then we would respond to that, because then everything will be on one email stream for historical documentation of the process.
That seems fair. Yeah, I will do that. Great.
Am I making a motion to end the meeting for now until July?
Staff comment or staff updates.
Staff updates.
Yeah. So I don't really have that many updates. Actually, I don't have any updates. So that's it. I hope everyone's staying safe and healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Now we can...
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Nikita, maybe you'd want to ask for a nomination to terminate the meeting, and then we'll vote on it?
Sure. I'd like to make a motion to terminate the meeting.
I'll second.
The meeting is terminated until next week.
Very final.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, guys. Okay. I'll email that to you today. If you need anything else, just let me know, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.